What's the purpose of tithing? What's the purpose of work? What's the purpose of marriage? When we get the purpose things straight, that's the first point in living this thing of living intentionally. I've seen people raise their kids and they've been successful in terms of the world and a miserable failure when it comes to what their purpose was as a parent. I've seen people who've been successful with their finances and have millions of dollars and have been a miserable failure when it comes to the purpose for money.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today wraps up Dr. Randy's three-part teaching series, Intentional Faith. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. You're absolutely right. We're going to get into that in a moment. I'm going to take you over to our teaching studio where I record with staff and the community all of the teaching that we share with you all, the content, the things that we're passionate about. Intentional living is about equipping, motivating, encouraging, and we continue to do that every day. So we'll wrap this up as I really focus on how we take a saving faith, you know, the fact that you know Christ and you can know Him personally and you love Him and God saved you for all of eternity, but how do you turn that into an intentional faith that has some legs to it, that you really live it out? We're going to get into some of that here in just a moment. If you have a story you want to add or you want to share a perspective or a question, you're welcome to do so as you call 888-888-1717. Got a really interesting call coming up a little later in the program. The flag lady, as she's known in baseball world for the Diamondbacks in Phoenix, is going to join me, Cindy McBride. Tell us, you talk about a positive story of faith. She's going to share her story coming up in just a little bit. Right now, let's go to the teaching studio. I want to just very quickly share with you and to get really practical with you, okay, in terms of how do we turn or transition this saving faith into an intentional living faith. You with me? This is an intentional living message here. So let me just go through these with you very quickly, because this is the core of what intentional living really teaches. We begin as men and women, if we choose to live intentional, by understanding our purpose. I believe with everything in me that if we don't know why we're here, then why how we live would make any difference. If I don't have a purpose for if there's no purpose for marriage, if there's no purpose for raising kids, if there's no purpose for our money other than my own personal gratification, then why would not we live like everybody else in the world? But when we get a handle on what the purpose of things might be, what's the purpose of tithing? What's the purpose of work? What's the purpose of marriage? What's the purpose of our day, getting up every day and living our lives? What's the purpose of going to college or getting a career? What's the purpose of starting a business? See? When we get the purpose things straight, that's the first point in living this thing of living intentionally. And I believe, while this can be ethereal to some, if moms who are maybe listening to this and you're wrestling raising those teenagers or those young adults, and moms and dads, you're struggling, if you can stop and say, hey, what is the purpose of parenting? Right? And understand that I'm not an owner, I'm a steward. My job is to build into their lives and raise this next generation and bring them to a place where they can make a decision to accept Christ. If that's my purpose, I can live with all the garbage. Well, I can try to live with all the garbage. But if I see that as my purpose isn't just to have the coolest kid on the block or the great athlete. I've seen people raise their kids and they've been successful in terms of the world and a miserable failure when it comes to what their purpose was as a parent. I've seen people who've been successful with their finances and have millions of dollars and have been a miserable failure when it comes to the purpose for money. And all of us can be guilty of this. So the first step in this process of living intentionally is to understand our purpose. What is the purpose of everything? And secondly, now we're getting really practical, is to set goals. I believe in goals. Now, not everybody does. I know some people get, they see the word goal and you go, oh, here he goes. All a goal is simply saying, you know, with God's help, reading what I understand Scripture to teach and knowing my strengths and weaknesses and where I am in life, because it's different for every season of life, My goal during this year, by the end of this year, would be to be there. My goal, if God would allow me to do this, I believe I can bring Him glory. See, I can have my intentional faith lived out by running a marathon in every state, by getting out of financial debt, by choosing to make a relationship that will honor Christ, choosing to step up and be the parent I need to be this year in specific terms, setting goals. And we do a whole teaching, of course, on goals and how to set goals, so I won't belabor it. After purpose and goals, goals provide direction in life. Goals give us an idea of where we're headed. You know, very few of us get in a car and don't at least know where we're headed. You know, we know how to get on the highway that's going to take us to where we want to go, but many of us live our lives without much direction. So purpose leads to goals. Goals lead to direction. Direction leads to plans, and we all need plans. That can be as simple as a post-it note with three things. Here's the plan, but have a plan. Isn't it amazing without a plan how we wander? See, without a plan that's specific and measurable and knowing what that plan is going to be. Because there are a lot of people who have goals. They don't have any plans. And a goal without a plan is nothing more than a good idea. And then after a plan is motivation. Motivation is an interesting word. Motivation comes from the root, M-O-T, which means to move. And one of the things we know about motivation is you can't whip up motivation. You ever notice that? You want to get motivated. You get motivated for a while, and then you're not motivated for a while. Motivation is one of those kind of interesting things that people have. But what I understand motivation to be, motivation ties to the next thing. Motivation happens when there's action. You get motivated when you do it. If you say you're going to do it, then go do it. See? And if you do it immediately, you ever notice how you do it? It's just a matter of doing it, and then the motivation comes as a result of that, taking those steps. Motivation isn't something that happens here. Motivation is something that happens by actually doing it, leading to action. Action leads to habits, right? Should, at least we teach in intentional living, an action all by itself is nothing more than a one-off. You just do it, and it's there, and it's you've experienced it and it's gone. But if you can turn that action into a habit and do it on a regular basis, then that becomes healthy. And then ultimately, that leads to results. Now, I've got to do this to complete this lesson because when I did this, and you know I love charts and graphs, that's just the way my mind works, so you have to work with me on it. As I got this all done, I realized that the activities on the left side of the line, except for purpose, goals, direction, and plans, tend to be people that we refer to around here as being crickets. If all that is, if you're only a left side person, if you're really good at just having goals and direction and plans, but not so good at motivation, action, and habits, you're a cricket. You and I, who are on the left side of that arrow, are procrastinators.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching series in just a moment.
Intentional love. Every marriage needs it, but it doesn't just happen.
When I started to show my wife love, she wondered what was going on.
Dr. Randy Carlson can show you how to apply intentional love to your marriage. But right now, it's your move to make an appointment for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, coming to Chandler November 5th and to Tucson November 10th.
That's what I showed her. That's what she responded to, and that's what saved our marriage.
Go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Sometimes in the mundane and even painful circumstances of life, if we just put our faith in the Lord and just trust Him, some beautiful and miraculous things can happen. My husband and I were separated for a year. We ended up working on a Christian reconciliation book for 5 months. At the end of it, I found myself saying that I would return to Him. And even though we still had struggles we had to work through, we now discuss the issues instead of fight about our feelings, and we're together. And most of all, we both pray together. We let the Lord lead us in our lives. And even though we still have tough times, we're able to work through them. It's just awesome. The Lord is awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
I've got to do this to complete this lesson because when I did this, and you know I love charts and graphs, that's just the way my mind works, so you have to work with me on it. As I got this all done, I realized that the activities on the left side of the line, except for purpose, goals, direction, and plans, tend to be people that we refer to around here as being crickets. If all that is, if you're only a left side person, if you're really good at just having goals and direction and plans, but not so good at motivation, action, and habits, you're a cricket. You and I, who are on the left side of that arrow, are procrastinators. And some of us are very good, we're head people, we're very good living right here with lots of goals, and we love plans, we love setting direction, and I can be on this side. But getting over on the other side of actually being motivated and taking action is a whole other dynamic. So I noticed that when we think about living intentionally, and we talk about the cricket being the one that makes a lot of noise but doesn't follow through, right? Like the cricket. In our spiritual life, we can do the same thing. We can talk a big game but not follow through. And in the process of doing that, we're like the cricket. But then I noticed that on the right side, there's some of us who live not on the left side, mostly. We don't have goals and direction and plans, but we live over here with the grasshopper, got a lot of motivation, a lot of action, maybe even some good habits, but we don't know where it's taking us. And like the grasshopper, we hop from here to here to here to here to here. And we get exhausted and weary and maybe have good results. We might even say, hey, look at all the things that I've done. But we stop every once in a while and say, well, where is it taking me? Just exhausted. And I believe that this intentional living message is bringing the left side and the right side together, that we know our purpose. We have our goals and our direction and our plans. And that leads to motivation and action and ultimately to habits and then ultimately to the kind of results that will help us with our intentional faith. So we're taking something like a saving faith and building it out into the practical application of our lives every day. And what we are all about here is a ministry and a mission is, first of all, to help people who don't know Jesus Christ personally to know that there's not a thing they can do to be intentional enough to get saved. Okay? Let's be clear on that. Let's make sure that that message continues to come through. God doesn't love intentional people more than unintentional people. He doesn't love the ants that we talk about, you know, the ant that's the intentional living mascot, more than he loves crickets and grasshoppers. He loves crickets and grasshoppers as well. So there's nothing that we can do to get intentionally saved. But the second thing that we're really passionate about is teaching people that at the end of the day, we want to have a life that matters for the 27,000 days we're on the planet. We got to turn that saving faith into an intentional faith, a faith that allows us to live out every day what the Bible teaches. You know what it is? It's obedient living. You've heard me say that. This is nothing more, folks, than obedient living. What does the Bible teach? Figure out what pleases Christ, Ephesians 5:10, and then do it. That's ultimately what the Scripture teaches, and that's what intentional living is about. And so when we talk about purpose and goals and we talk about direction and plans and motivation, those are just the teaching points. So we can be specific and helping you and helping our listeners and constituents to look at whatever the challenge is in their life and get really specific about learning to grow in that area of their life. That's why we do this. See, thank you all for your involvement and for your part in, that you play in the ministry. And to our support family, thank you for supporting us. Not only for what we do with the intentional living message, but the opportunity we have even with our radio network and our around-the-world communication to help inspire people to live intentionally. You know, at the end of the day, we want our lives to matter, don't we? I mean, that's really what it is. We want to have meaning, significance. God does all the saving, but we do the living. And that's intentional living. That is intentional living. We let God do what He does. He does the saving. We do the living. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this these passages from Scripture today, for the reminder that you do all the saving, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But certainly we need to do the living, James chapter 2, and other passages throughout Scripture remind us that we live in a world that needs followers of you to be intentional. Our kids need us. Our grandkids need us. This world needs us, because it's through us that we have an opportunity for your message to flow into this world. Thank you for allowing me to live it intentionally for you. In Christ's name, amen. We're live back here in the Intentional Living Studio. And I want to say thanks to our members who make this program possible, frankly. We have friends all over the country, and you know who you are. We know who you are, and you know who we are, too. And because of your ongoing support every month, many giving a dollar a day, $30 a month, or $50 a month, or $100 a month, or whatever amount, but we're standing together with a message of hope to help people see that by living intentionally in Christ, not only are we growing in our faith, not only is we're finding our spirit improving in our life, but just the practical stuff, our marriage, our finances, when we apply these principles. Thank you for making it possible. And if you're not a member, can I open the door and invite you to come and be a part of this? You know, your ongoing support every month is a great help, whatever God lays on your heart. Can I challenge you to pray about a dollar a day or $30 a month, but whatever amount God lays on your heart. And when you support the ministry, what happens is it puts into motion the opportunity to send you a new member kit, which includes two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing. We're including a CD talking about God's view of money. That'll be our gift to you as well, and then ongoing teaching every month. Just simply go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. And God bless you. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
Hi, this is Nikki, and I am calling about procrastination. I moved about 3 years ago, and for 2 years, I procrastinated on unloading my crafting room. It was a mess. So I finally told myself I would go in and take care of 3 things every night before I went to bed. And when I'd go in there, I'd find myself putting away 1 or 2 dozen things because going in there to do 3 things just wasn't worth it. And within 2 weeks, it was completely done, and it was excellent, and I was just really proud of myself. So that was my intentional thing, just putting away 3 things. Have a good day. God bless.
Thank you, Mickey. I feel convicted. My wife has been saying, Randy, if you did 1 folder every night out of your home office and got it all nicely organized, just think how quickly that would take care of itself. So, Mickey, thank you for the added incentive today. Hey, listen, now we're gonna turn to hear a story of someone who is, you talk about positive, she is very positive. She's a positively faith-driven person, for sure. Her name is Cindy McBride, and she's from Phoenix. Every Diamondbacks baseball fan who's ever been to the game or watched on TV has seen this lady in action. She's not on a field. She's the flag lady up in the stands. So, hi there, Cindy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much. This is such an honor to be speaking with you.
Well, I'm glad you're a listener of Family Life Radio, and I'm glad you're so positive in your faith. First of all, we got to know, what is it? What is a flag lady about? I mean, is this an assignment, or did you take this on yourself?
I take it on myself, Dr. Randy. Years ago, when I went through a divorce, I was able to start going to the baseball games. My husband was not a baseball person. He wasn't a sports person. When he divorced me, it allowed me the ability to do the things that I wanted to do. And I've always enjoyed sports, so I started going to the baseball games. I'm not one who sits down very well. I like to be active. I like to be up and moving. So I started dressing in costumes and making small flags just to cheer the players on, to let them know that somebody was up in the stands cheering for them, even if they were losing the game. You could still be positive in the fact that they're still out there playing, giving it their best shot. And so that became bigger and bigger and bigger. And they used to call me the dancing granny and the crazy dancing lady. Then the Diamondbacks gave me, a couple of years after that, they gave me the name of Rally Sally. And then everybody knows me as the flag lady. So it all evolved. But I think so many times people go to sporting events or to bars or wherever they go to hang out looking for something positive, even if they don't know that. They need something to say, there's more to life than what I'm experiencing. And that's kind of where it all evolved into, is just wanting to be a positive aspect at the games for people.
Now tell me, Cindy, how does this flow out of your life as far as your faith? Where does your relationship with Christ, and how does being positive in your faith maybe negatively impact those around you who aren't as excited about life as you are?
My faith in Jesus Christ is more important to me than anything in the world. And a lot of people don't want to hear the name of Jesus Christ, but what has happened is my flags draw people. I've had church services with young people up in the stands at the baseball stadium, Chase Field, because the flags have drawn them up there. And sometimes it's negative. People don't necessarily understand what I'm doing. So it causes them to have a negative impact, like, what is she doing, and why is she doing that, and what is she trying to do, and that type of negativity. But once they get to know me, they understand the basis for what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, then it kind of draws them a little bit into it. But I think that by just having the faith that I have in Christ and what he's going to do for me and how he does things, it draws them into knowing that maybe there's something more in life than what they're experiencing. And I've been called some names that aren't necessarily conducive to being a positive person. But even the people I work with, a lot of them just like the fact that I'm very positive at work. I don't take anger home with me. I don't bring anger into work. I pray a lot when I'm at work. I've had opportunities to pray with our patients and things like that. So it's a positive aspect, just being able to, when people recognize me, to be able to just to talk with them. And if I can give a word of encouragement to even one person, then that's what I want to do. A friend of mine wrote a book about baseball and spirituality, and it's called Nine Innings, and he was a baseball player with the Oakland A's. And to be able to give that book to people, and especially the baseball players, they can read the book and they can say, oh my gosh, this is great. And it's not just Diamondbacks, it's New York Yankees, it's Boston Red Sox, it's San Diego Padres, it's San Francisco Giants. But I'm basically a positive person. I think life is too short not to be positive and look at life. In spite of all the garbage that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, there's still a positive outcome.
Absolutely. Yeah, listen, Cindy, we'll be watching for you in the stands. Keep waving those flags.
Yes, sir, I'm working on it. In fact, I'm working on some right now.
Cindy McBride, and you know, we didn't even get into the fact that she has challenges too, issues in her life. Single person, financial issues, but you hear the flow of that sense of being positive. Positive for a reason. You know, the idea of positive thinking, and of course that's been around for a long, long time, and positive psychology and all of that. And we know there's health, the benefits, and so on, just to remain positive. And we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of us who wrestle with staying positive. But I would just challenge us as we listen to Cindy today to get back to a verse that comes to mind for me from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that reminds us that whatever is right and pure and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, to start thinking on those things. And we know as we start thinking on the right things and then we start behaving with that truth, when we start behaving with the truth of the Scripture, then the emotions will follow. Emotions always follow our thinking and our behavior. And so as we're thinking about being intentional today, I think you may not get up in the morning being a flag lady or a flag guy in your heart. You may not be that positive about life, but we can make a decision today to be positive about this day, because this is the day the Lord has made, the Bible says, and we choose intentionally to rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah, hello, my name is William. My intention of living is, while I'm at work, I am a security officer, and when I have downtime, I study daily bread. I read those so many a day, maybe 4 pages a day, and when I go back with my Bible and color in the verses so that I know what I've read and what I've covered already, and trying to memorize each verse. I'm a door greeter at the church. I've helped in the passing out the food for the needy that come to the church. We have a food bank. I even brought some students from high school forward to Christ, and I wanted to just let you know about all that. Things are going really well in my life. Without God, I do not believe I could have done it. Thank you very much, and you have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you. You know, you started by saying my intentional living, and I was thinking, we're hearing more and more people say that. Here's my intentional living story. Here's my intentional living. I'd love to hear that. When you call, share in our comment line, hey, here's my intentional living story. Tell me so we can share it with others. What are you doing to be intentional? Simple things, consistent things, intentional things, day in and day out. What difference is it making in your faith, your walk, your family, your health, your finances as a follower of Christ? Share with us by calling 888-888-1717.
My name's Jeff, and my one thing is to listen more to my wife.
Hi, my name is Nikki, and my one thing is to devote more time to memorizing scripture.
My name is David, and my one thing is work on a right attitude.
My name is Dana, and my one thing is to think before I speak.
My name is Lance Brown, and my one thing is making sure to spend 30 minutes a day praying in the morning for my wife.
My name is Bea. I'm from Albuquerque, and my one thing is that I'm not going to have better ideas than my husband all the time. In other words, be so critical of him.
Yeah, the first part I was going to say, well, you can have better ideas than your husband, but the critical part, I agree with you. I do. Very powerful. You know, she mentioned Albuquerque. We had a fantastic weekend last weekend, sellout about 2 or 3 weeks earlier. What a fantastic group at the church, the volunteers, and all of you who came, and with about 80% of you walking out with your one thing wristband, your one thing commitment. Keep in touch with us in Michigan and in New Mexico about how it's going with your one thing challenge, okay? We're praying for you. Speaking of the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, this weekend we're having a fantastic, and I'm convinced it'll be totally sold out in Phoenix. Friday night, this Friday night, the Glendale Auditorium is completely sold out. And if you want to come and be with us in the Valley, come on over to Chandler. Sunday night, we have just very few limited seats available. And then Tucson, of course, coming up on November the 10th. We want to see you. We're going to have a fantastic time as we wrap up our tour for 2017 with the powerful message of how to be intentional in your marriage and what difference it can make. Tickets for Glendale are sold out. However, Chandler for this Sunday, and then on the 10th for Tucson, get your tickets at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and I encourage you to do it today, okay? Tomorrow, we'll be here live taking your calls. We're going to talk about one of the things we talk about at the conference, the power of forgiveness in marriage. So come and join us here at the Intentional Living Center. See you then.